The Gemara in Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, the very top of the Gemara. Again, the list in the Mishnah had a number of things that make an esrog pasul. Shel truma tamei psula. If you have an esrog that was truma but became tamei, then you can't use it for your lulav and esrog set. Why not? The less by a heter achila. If you remember, everyone agrees that you have to have an esrog that has in it the ability to be eaten, and truma tamei has it's no one can eat it, and therefore since no one can eat it, it's not lachem. And therefore, you can't use it as your esrog. And if you use it, it's still not kosher. It's pasul. So truma tahora lo yitzol. If it's truma that could be eaten, it still suggests in the Mishnah not to use it for lulav and esrog set. It says you shouldn't do it. Again, if you do it, we know it's kosher. Why shouldn't you do it? Says the Gemara, pligi bar Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi. Chadamar b'mneishem machshira. Chadamar b'mneishem mafsida. One opinion says you're machshira. Rashi's one over here, you're machshir. The way it worked back in the day is when you would take a lulav and esrog set, you would take the hadas and rabos, the lulav, and put them whole together with the esrog. That said, the hadas and rabos and lulav would usually be kept in water. It kept it from withering, it kept it from drying out, so you keep it in water. So now when you take it now and you put it together with the esrog, you make the esrog wet. That's called machshir l'makabel tumma. It now has the potential to become makabel tumma, the potential to become tummy. Again, if a tummy thing touched an esrog and it was dry, it wouldn't make a tummy in the end. But if it was wet, it would make a tummy. And therefore, we're afraid if the wetness of the lulav that's rubble that were kept in water would now go combined with the esrog itself, and the esrog was truma, so you're opening up the possibility, potential for something truma to become tumeya. And the Torah says the lashon of it's the Rashi quotes from Machshira at the very end. Mishmeres trumasi, and which means also lashimur, make for it a protection, keep it away from tuma at all costs. If you touch it with something wet, potentially will make it machshir makabel tuma. Yeah.
Can I ask a question that doesn't have directly to do with this, but has to do with tuma?
Sure. Yeah, I know.
No, you're looking it up.
Yes.
And I have people say, you know, I don't know if this meaning you can't dunk a donut in the milk because milk is actually.
You can, you have to wash your hands first.
Okay. That's applicable now, meaning if I have an
it's
egg.
Funny. So I asked this question to Rav Miller.
An egg.
An egg.
A hard-boiled egg.
Hard-boiled egg.
I unpeel it, I wash it to get it all off. It's wet. I do not like it, I eat it.
So I asked this question to Rav David Miller. If you dry them before you eat it, you have no problem.
It's wet.
So Rav David Miller said to me, I said, it's not the case, right? Like, you know, I asked like 3 years ago, it was like recently. Not the case. So you have to, if I wet
I
grapes,
my apple.
Wet grapes, wet apple. He goes, what do you mean? If you dip your donut, your cookies in milk, you have to wash your hands first.
Wait, why is this?
It's like we have by karpas. We wash our hands before we do karpas. Why do we do that? So anything that's mafbil b'mayim, tibula b'mayim, if you dip something in water, you don't make a bracha on it, so we don't do our either. But anything that you wetten, that you make moist, you dip it in water, and you eat it while it's wet like that, you're supposed to wash your hands before you do it. For the purpose of, you know, worry about issues of tumah and tahara. So we do. The custom is we do it. What you can also just dry it. If you want to dry it, you can do that as well. If you use a fork, you don't have to worry about it. If you use your hand,
that hurt also is a question.
Yeah, if you use a fork.
Olives are all liquid, and oil is a...
Oil is one of the seven things that's machshir l'makabel tumah.
So even a fork would be problematic.
To use with a fork with an olive.
It's yada arichto or something like that.
Okay, even a fork could be a problem. I don't know.
That's what I heard.
The discussion is brought down if you have, let's say, I have a donut and I only touch part of it. And I don't touch the part that's wet at all. But even if we dip it, usually you hold part in your hand, you dip the other part in it.
Right.
But even that, people have machshir that you should wash. You should wash your hands before you do that. Again, if you have a fruit or vegetable and you dry it before you eat it, it's not an issue of you holding your hands when it's wet. It's not a problem. The issue is eating it when it's wet. That's the problem. So
it's not touching it while it's wet?
No, because if I wash my apple and then I dry the apple, my hands are wet when I touch the apple, it's not a problem. I dry the apple and I eat it when it's dry, then it's no problem at all. It's a problem when you're going to eat it while it's wet with your hands. That's where the problem comes up.
So this hard-boiled egg, I got to do it until I end up. I want to eat it right after I wash it off.
If you wash off after post shell, unless you dry it, unless you want to dry it first. Unless you dry it. Yeah.
Question about truma, the esrog being truma.
Yeah.
Truma is what we give to the kohen.
Correct.
But this is something that was.
You just designated. You designated. It doesn't have to be truma.
Right.
You set it aside. Oh, we see in the middle over here, even if you're in Yisrael, maybe you can even do it. But this is what you told me yesterday. I think it's the idea of giving to the kohen.
Yeah,
Yeah, exactly. That's from this part. So if I'm already designated to be truma. So now, in theory, I'm not supposed to make this. No. I mean, the Kohen eats it in the end. He can eat it.
Hekdesh is, I say, this is for the base of Mikdash.
Right. This is not for you, it's for him. But he's allowed, a human's allowed to take care of it and he's sold out of it. So the rule is that since we're afraid that it might become wet because lulav set is wet, because you're keeping it moist in the water. So when you touch them together, you're now making the esrog wet, which now gives the potential to be mukabel tumah. It's called makshira. You're makshira it. You're allowing it to be prepared, to be ready to become tummy. And that is a big issue. And for that reason, we say you cannot use an esrog that is truma, even truma tahor. You shouldn't. You shouldn't use it because you're now being makshira lekabel tumah. Daf lamed hey amud beis. You're now being makshira lekabel tumah.
What happened
to shelachem? This is lachem. Are you saying, why is it lachem? Why is it lachem, you're asking? What makes it yours? Okay, good. So we'll get back to it in a minute. We'll figure out why it's allowed in the end. Right now, we're saying don't do it in the first place because you're makshira lekabel tumah is option number one. And option number two has one opinion. It's chad amar. The other person says, maybe shemafsida, which means you're going to make it lost or ruin. Why make? Because the more you handle something, the more you pick it up and put it down. The more you handle it, the more it gets worn off. It gets a little bit ruined. And you're not allowed to for truma. For truma, you can't ruin an item in truma. You have to treat with respect. You don't want to increase and advance its worn out stages. Truma must be treated with great respect. So either because you're afraid you might come tummy now because it's touching water, or you're afraid that you're handling it constantly, it's going to wear it out. It's going to ruin the peel. It's going to make it more ruined quickly. And you have to treat truma with utmost respect. That's why when it comes to, let's say, we do truma now, we pull truma aside nowadays, you can't throw it in the garbage. You have to wrap it up, wait till it starts wrapping, wait till it starts rotting, then you throw it out. But you have to treat it with truma. You can't increase and advance. That's why when you have these Shemitah pachs, you try, it's a similar type of discussion. You shouldn't throw into a pach that's open with other things already decaying, because then it'll quickly, you have to treat it and try to preserve it as long as possible until it rots on its own. Those are two reasons why you should be careful not to to use an esrog. Even if it's truma tahora, you shouldn't be using it. The Gemara says over here, my bad, what's the difference whether you say the reason is machshira, or the difference is mafsida, because you're now able to become tumah, or because you're making it get ruined faster. Gon shikara ala shem chutz miklipa sachitona. If I call this, when you designate something for truma, you can decide where you want it to be truma. I say this entire esrog is truma, except for the outer shell, except for the peel. Chutz miklipa sachitona, from the external peel. That part, I'm not making it as truma. So how does that work? The one who says we're afraid maybe you're going to now make it wet, which may make the entire thing come tamei, ika, that is still there. That concern is still in play. And we're afraid if you let it become wet, even the part that's outside, that's not truma, it will make the entirety of the esrog become tamei later on. And that'll be a problem. That's still a problem. The one who says we're afraid that maybe you're going to be wear and tear in the esrog, well, wear and tear of not the truma part. The klipa, the external part, is not the truma part. So wear and tear in the fruit, it's not truma, leka would not be a problem. There is no such problem. Therefore, in a case when I said, I want to make this esrog truma except for the external part of the peel, if you hold the problem with using a truma esrog is the wear and tear, then this is no problem. You can use this esrog because wear and tear is of a regular esrog. If the inside is considered truma, the problem is you're afraid it's going to be machshir, the kabel tumma. Well, you don't only have one part become tummy, the entire esrog will become tummy if it becomes tummy, including the truma part. Okay, two dots. But if you do take it, it's kosher. So Arik asks, why is it kosher? It's not lachem. You can't eat it. So why if I take a truma tohora esrog, and I'm not a kohen, and I use it for myself, why is it kosher? So l'man damar meisha ein b'heter achila, meisha b'heter achila. The one who says there is no heter achila, well, there is a heter achila over here. What does that mean? Look over here in Rashi. L'kohen. Someone can eat it. It's edible. V'yisrael nami nafik ba. Even Yisrael can use it. Im lacham mikohen. If a Kohen gives it to Yisrael, he can use it now because it was edible for him. Since he can give it to his granddaughter, who is the daughter of a Kohen, potentially. Meaning, this person can give it to people in his family if they have the proper the priestly genes, that they're a Kohen. Therefore, even Yisrael could be able to use it because there is a level of lachem. He can't eat, but he can give it to someone to be eaten. And therefore, that puts it in the ballpark of lachem, according to the Gemara here, according to the way Rashi explains it. There's a heter achila, again, not only for a Kohen for sure, we understand he could use it, but even for Yisrael, since he could give it to a family member who could be a Kohen, if that person's a Kohen, then also that would be considered edible. And the second option is, and l'man d'amar l'fisha ein ba'din mamon, the concern we had by, in general, by orla, things like that, is there is no din mamon. Well, this truma tahora, Rabbi Yeshua din mamon, there is monetary value to it. And over here is what Daniel said. Yes, say, look at Rashi. He says, Rabbi Yeshua din mamon, Kohen mekadesh b'asa isha. A Kohen, he can marry a woman with this esrog if he wants to. Yisrael nami, im nasim lo Kohen. If a Kohen gives it to Yisrael, mekadesh b'asa isha, he can marry her with it. Umochra l'kohanim adam shalo. And then she gets to sell it, or he can sell it afterwards, and he gets to keep the money for himself. There is a value, a monetary value this esrog has if it was gifted by a Kohen. Again, you can't set it aside for truma and then use it yourself. That you can't do. You have to gift it to a Kohen. But once a Kohen gifts it, he can give it back to you, and now it has value. You can sell it to another Kohen if you want. You've already given it as a gift of truma. And if he gives it back to you, you can sell it now. And again, it's a lower price because supply and demand, you can only give it to Kohanim. It's limited to people who can buy it. So maybe it's worth less money. But whatever he wants to sell for and buy it for, it's considered truma. And you get to keep the money. And therefore, there is a value in the esrog that is from truma to hora. The Mishnah also shel demai. The Mishnah said earlier on, daf lam dal and beis, shel demai is a machlokes in Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai says it's possible to use esrog shel demai. Beis Shammai says it's kosher. What is demai? Demai is what it sounds like. Demai, meaning what is it? We assume when you buy fruit from an Am Haaretz, from a regular guy, we assume they probably take off shrooms. We assume they do. But we're machmir because maybe they didn't. We assume they really probably did. But in case they didn't, we treat it with, we call it demai, we treat it with caution, with concern. And therefore, the rule is that you should be careful with fruits that are demai. Can you use it for lulav and esrog set? So it says over here, the Mishnah says, machlokes beisilo beishamai. Beisilo says you can. You almost always beisilo is more makil, beishamai is more machmir, with a few exceptions found in Maseches Beitza, but they're almost always more makil beisilo, beishamai is almost always machmir. Why is beisilo makil? My time with the beisilo, why is beisilo makil? We had an hour sugya a few times, we had an hour in Maseches Sukkah, where beisilo is more makil, beishamai is more machmir. For example, what's that? Excellent. That's which means good. What does it mean, table? Good. There's two ways to learn that machlokas. Either you know what I'm talking about or not? Either it's the size of the sukkah, how big it has to be, or the location, the placement of the table. In both cases, basil is more makil, right? You don't need shulchano. So again, we don't pass. Again, which we don't pass on basil machlokas and Tosfos quotes. Maybe only in the size that we don't pass on basil, but in the placement we might. Either way, Beisil is almost always, except for like I think six occasions or something like that, and Beitza discusses which ones they are.
Ovi min bayis.
Which one?
Ovi min bayis.
Excellent. Very good. If you have the schach, that's very, very thick. It's like you can't even see the sunlight through it. The sunlight you can't see. Beis Shammai says it's possible. Beisil says it will still be kosher. Passing like Beisil.
That can often mean bias. No, yours is not
given. Yeah, what's the Ovi mean
bias?
I'm trying to think myself.
I think
it's the top of the of
it's
a
Chav Beis.
That's that one.
Ovi mean bias.
Ovi mean bias. I think it's Chav Beis.
Am a Beis.
Am a Beis. No, before.
He's right. Chav Beis. Am a Beis. Chav Beis. Am a Beis. Excellent. Very good. Kol kavod. It was
Chav Beis.
I don't know what you think.
Wait, there's another Beisil Beishamah. Shamraya.
Yeah.
That's another of Chassaya.
That's our case. That's our case. This is the case of Rosh Rubel Shachano.
Oh.
Yerichon ben Achoranis. They went to his house, Shamraya.
Yeah.
That was the case of.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. That was Chav Ches. Chav Zayin. Chav Ches. What Aleph? Which one? Chav Ches? Chav Ches and Aleph. Yes? Yeah.
The bottom.
Yeah, that's the case. Rosh Rubel. Yeah. Shem Raya. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Shel Demai, why is Beis Hillel say it's kosher? What's that Beis Hillel? Kevon de Iboi, mafkilu in the chasei. Since if you want to, Iboi, if you want, you can mafkilu, you can make your nechasim, your property ownerless. You can make yourself poor. You can make all your property no longer yours. And the rule is, Vahave Ani, you'll then become a poor person. A poor person is allowed, it's fitting. He's allowed to eat demai. Chazile means fitting. He's permitted to eat demai. And therefore, right now, to answer your question, or to answer a question, why is demai allowed to be used in the Ulav Esrog? Says, I can make it edible for myself. If I make all my property, you know, I'm after all my property, I become a poor person, it's in my hands now to eat this item if I wanted to, so I just have to do something to it. And therefore, based upon that idea, we say, that even right now, before he does so, he's allowed to eat it lachem. Hashanami lachem karina beis. So now as well, it'll be considered lachem. This now we learn a Mishnah. we're not going to prove this idea. Machinos anim demai, v'sachsani demai. You're allowed to give poor people and achsania, which are the soldiers who come by and encamp in the community when they're protecting the community or they're walking somewhere to battle. They stay there. They're also permitted to eat demai, maybe for a similar reason. They're not home. They don't have food with them. They're allowed to rely on the heter that we assume rove amei aretz are giving trumas maestros. We're machmir, if we can be, to treat it with caution, called demai. But if one isn't, it's hard to do so. Like you're very poor, or you're achsanai, you're a person who doesn't have a home, you're traveling, you're trying to go to the battle, or wherever it might be, protecting an area, then you also are allowed to eat demai. That's why Beis Hillel says, because it's lachem for them, because I can easily make it edible for myself. Ubei Shammai, and Beis Shammai say, no, ani lo achal demai, an ani cannot eat demai, and therefore you can't make it yours, you can't make a lachem. That nan, machin ananiim demai, vesachsani demai, but Ravuna says about that case, tane, it was taught Beis Shammai omrim, ein machilas aniim, vesachsanaim demai. Why does Beis Shammai say you can't?
I mean, what's the smart?
Do I have to ask that? I mean, I'm questioning. Do I have to ask that question? I mean, is that the default? Is that you should be able to? Why do you think you should be able to?
Okay, ask it both ways. There's no smart. I mean, what's the logic?
Well, the Svarav say you should be able to. Beis Hillel is that it's a chumra de rabbanon. The Rabbanu were machmir not to eat demai. We don't know. We assume stam amei aretz, rov amei aretz. We assume our mafris trumos and maestros. So if the Rabbanu made a takana that we shouldn't do it because we should like demai, okay. But you know what? If a guy is poor, let him have it. Beis Shammai, I guess, you know, they didn't feel that way. Why not? Why didn't they feel that way? Why didn't they feel that a person should be the chashash and that chashash? Obviously, if you're going to die, we'll let you eat before you die. You don't have to die for it. But if you're not eating, you're poor, we don't just give you a carte blanche. We don't give you like a free rein to eat whatever you want. It was a chashash. It was a chashash. I'll take that. Okay. So, Maestro Sheni in Yerushalayim. How about Maestro Sheni in Yerushalayim? You have Esrog of Maestro Sheni in Yerushalayim. Can you eat it there? So, the Mishnah said you're allowed to. Oh, sorry, it said you shouldn't. But if you do, it's kosher. Why shouldn't you? So, again, Laban Damar Nation Makshira. According to the one who says the concern we had before, again, Chad Amr, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi. The one who said the issue was your makshir, that you're now making it wet, which now makes it potentially makabal tuma. So you're a hari makshir, you're doing it again. And apparently Rashi quotes over here, we're makvid for Maestro Sheni also, not, that's what we are by truma, to avoid any potential tuma that falls upon Maestro Sheni. The madar Maestro Sida, once again, hari Sida, by handling a Esrog of Maestro Sheni, once again, if you handle it too many times, you're going to make the outside part of it a little bit ruined, and we want to avoid. We want to treat Maestro Sheni with respect and with Kedusha, so like we did by Truma above, Truma Tahora, the same thing would apply also to Maestro Sheni. Now, if you did use it, Avim Natal Ksheira, if you did use it, it's still kosher. Why? Laman Damer Sheni Nation Ein Heter Achila, a direct call. But one of the issue is that there is no Heter Achila. That's what the problem we have by Orla earlier on. The reason why you couldn't use an Esrog of Orla, because you can't eat Orla, and therefore, if you can't eat it, it's not Lachem. Well, here, everyone agrees. Different call. Everyone agrees you can eat Maestro Sheni, and therefore, everyone agrees you could use Maestro Sheni as Shrogim. Laman de Amr, the one who said earlier, Lefisha Eimba din Mamo, and that we, if you remember earlier on, we said that was the Pshat of Rabbi Asi, that the reason we were concerned with was, again, we have before, we had the Machlokes between Rabbi Chad Amar, it was Rabbi Asi versus Rabbi Chiya bar Oven. Rabbi Asi, the issue there was din Mamon, Rabbi Chiya bar Oven, so the issue was Heter Achila. So if you hold, the issue is that it's not really din Mamon. Well, then it would depend. You could use it, according to the Mishnah here, you could use it, Davka, Hamani, who is the author that says you can use it? You can use a lulav ad esrog, Shomai Sashini, Rabbanan, it's a Rabbanan as opposed to, who does Rabbanan argue with? That's Sugya, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir treated, Meister Sheni as Mamon Hedyot, as Mamon Gavoa. And we had three cases we had last time, we had three cases. We had the case of Maestro Sheni of Matzah, Maestro Sheni of Esrog, and Maestro Sheni of the dough of Mafish Chala. Rabbi Meir holds that it's not really yours. It's not your mamun, it's mamun gavoa. According to Rabban, it's mamun hedron. It's a regular, it's considered yours. If it's considered yours, then you could use it. So in our mission, when it says, don't take Maestro Sheni Esrog, but if you do, it's still kosher. So if you hold the issue of Heter Achila, like Rav Chir Ba'oven said, so then everyone would say you could use such an Esrog. If you hold the Rabbi Asi, the issue is Heter Mamon, then this would be like a Rabbanon. Because Rabbanon hold that Maestro Sheni is Mamon Hedjot. It's yours, not considered Mamon Gavol, like Rabbi Meir says. And therefore, according to Rabbanon, you could use it. According to Rebbe Meir, you would not be able to use such a such an esrog. If you hold, it's based on din mamon. Okay. Also chazazis. We mentioned one of the issues is, what's chazazis mean?
Blemish.
A blemish, scabbing, some sort of a growth. If a growth goes on the esrog, so the Mishnah stated on, if it's rove the esrog, then it's patel. If it's meat of the esrog, it's a little bit of the esrog, then it will be considered kosher. Says the Gemara, Amr b'chizda, davar zeh Rabbeinu Agadol amru, amakam yeh ba'azro. This following matter, Rabbeinu Agadol, we said before, was Rav. We quoted this Gemara earlier on, if you remember, Daf Lama Gimel. Exactly, Manumar. We're going to have it with the branches, the Hadassim that have berries on it. So this is what Rav said, and Hashem should be on his side, Hashem should protect him. Lo shanu ella, double negative. We only learned this halacha that you're allowed to eat the, sorry, you cannot eat the esrog if it had a chazazah rubo, b'makom echad. If its rubo was all in one big fixed location, it was concentrated. But if it was spread out, a little bit here, a little bit there, even if all together it was over roving the surface level of the esrog, but it wasn't all bundled together, it was scattered around, then we'd say it would be kosher. That's Rav Chizda quotes Rav. Amar Rava, Rava says back to Rav Chizda, Adarava. What are you talking about? The opposite is true. If it's all scattered around the esrog, b'shnayim shloshim makomos, how about like manumar apostle? Of course it's possible in that case. It's like manumar. It would be considered speckled and spotted and lose its other status. If it's in one location where it's a little bit ugly, one location, even if it's rove, but the rest of the esrog looks pretty, so maybe there's room to be makel in theory. I mean, we don't say that, but maybe in theory it would be room to be makel. But the more spread out it is, the worse it's going to be in the end. So he rejects the idea of having it spread out being different than if it's all together, at least when it comes to rubo, if it's over most of the esrog. Eli itmar, I say itmar. But if you want to suggest, if you want to say itmar, if you want to say that there is in fact a distinction between it all together or spread it out, then asefa itmar, it was stated asefa on the second part of the Mishnah. When it said al miyuto kosher, the Mishnah said that on the smaller part, if you have less than 30%, then the esrog will be kosher. That's where we differentiate between all together or spread out. Amr of Chizda, there of Chizda says, there was a Rabbeinu Agadol Amru, b'makom yebozro, lo shanu ela b'makom echa. When do I say Amyuto, it's kosher, da'afkum, it's all one, you know, localized area, that's only Miyuto, then it's kosher. Aval b'shtayim shosh makos, but if you scatter it around across the esrog, then ha'vleikim enumar, upasol. Then it'll be considered speckled and spotted, and it's pasol. So we have bottom line psalach as follows. If you have a chazazis, a growth on most of the esrog, I don't care where it's found, one location, many locations, puzzle right away. If you have a growth that's on less than half the esrog, then if it's all one area, then you're okay. But if it's scattered throughout the esrog, you can see different parts of the esrog, then it's manumar, and therefore it will be puzzle. But then we have one last din over here. I'm a Rav. Rav says that that's all when it comes to normal parts of the esrog. But chotamo, a filu b'mashu, nami puzzle. If you have in the chote, what's the chote mean? Rashi goes over here, it's where the slope, where the esrog starts to go from thick towards its top, becoming thinner towards the top. Anywhere beyond like the regular size, when it starts to thin out towards the top, if you have, that's called a chotem, that's called like the nose or the top part of it. If you have a spot on any part towards the sloping upwards part, anywhere there, that would even a mashing, a small piece that you can see with your eyes, it'll be puzzle. Remember we went through of Zechariah to his shul, he was very careful to say, that's when you look at it. You don't have to take a magnifying glass and see it. If you look at it and you see it, it's considered an... Rashi wrote here, what's the issue with the chotem? It's your eye notices it. Well, if your eye can't notice it until you take a magnifying glass and peer at it and then see it, that's not what the Mishnah Gemara here means. It means you look at it and you can see it there. That would make it puzzle in the end. Okay. Just a few more lines and we'll stop. Says the Gemara further. Nala pitmaso. If the pitom falls out, it's taken off. Then we said beforehand, that would be considered puzzle, we said. Right? Yeah. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar, Natla Buchanto. When he read this Mishnah, he explained it to be Buchanto. Now, what's Buchanto mean? What did we say it meant last time? A mortar or a pestle? What did we say it was last time? Pestle? So that what that is that's when you have like a pestle and mortar, like you have the bowl and the thing that you kind of smash it with. So he calls the pitom, the pestle has a shape where it looks like it's inside. Rashi has two sheets over here. What exactly this means? You know, we call it pitom, and it's called buchna because if you look at it, it looks like this little thing sticking off the esrog, and it looks like this pestle in theory, or it's actually the oketz, which is like the bottom part of it. But it's the bottom part. The bottom part is two parts. What I'm asking I'm right now. But if you look at the esrog, you see the bottom part has on it like a surrounding area, and then it has like the piece coming out of the surrounding area. If the surrounding area fell off, it's no problem. If the piece inside the surrounding area fell off, it's a problem because that would probably take some of the flesh of the esrog with it, and it'll become chaser. Rashi likes the first job better. That's the pitom. Those are the two options. Is there a picture on here or no?
Yeah.
Which page?
Nun bet.
Nun bet?
Nun bet.
Okay, page nun bet in the back. Oh, good. So that's one is the pitom is what we have. That's the first one. The second kuf lamed is the second shot. Kuf lamed is you see the bottom parts off. If you look at kuf lamed aleph, actually nun gimel, you'll see there's a hole there. There's a hole there because when you take out the pestle part of the bottom, meaning that, again the bottom has two parts, so it has like the surrounding part and it has the part that sticks up off of the esrog. Take that the start sticking up the pestle part, it would actually probably drag some flesh with it, which is why it becomes pestle because it would be chaser. What's that? Pestle. Yeah.
Mortar and pestle.
I think it's pestle, not pestle.
No.
Pestle.
Not sure.
Okay. We gotta go to the we gotta go ask Siri, whatever it is, with the pestle. More than pestle. I always called it pestle. See that? Don't ever correct me beforehand. Now I'm on Hawaii Torah though, so it's gonna be all over the place. Everyone's gonna know that I don't pronounce that word. It's okay, it's alright. It's good for humility. Good for humility. Okay. I'll tell you a great story at the end. Speaking of humility, it's a great story at the end. Remind me. Humility story. Niklaf, which means peeled. Amarava Hayasroga de ugly kiahina sumka kshera. An esrog that's ugly, which means according to Rashi means niklaf, means it was peeled. The esrog was peeled off, and now it looks like ahina sumka. Ahina sumka, ahina is a tamar, says Rashi, it's a date, and sumka means red. If you peel off a date or other fruits, all the times the oxidation becomes reddish, becomes brownish, or the flesh itself may be even red, but through according to Rashi, the oxidation brings the redness out. So if you have the esrog turn into a reddish color because you peeled it, says the Gemara kshera. That would be allowed. Big kiddush. What do you mean? Vadan tzanik apostle. The Mishnah said earlier on that if you have a peeled esrog, it's possible. Lo kasha. Habakula habiksasa. Depends, was it all entirely peeled or only a little bit peeled? Now Rashi and Rabbi Nachman have a machlokes which one is which. Rashi over here, if the whole thing is peeled, it's kosher. Why would that be the case? Why would it all peeled? I would imagine some peels less is better, isn't it? So no, it's not.
Looks so
far. Because excellent. The whole thing is peeled, at least a uniform color, then it's okay. But if you part peeled, part not peeled, that's a problem. Rabbi Nachman argues. He says, no, if any peel is left, then you sell peel, so it's kosher. It's only if it's all peeled that it's not kosher. Rashi says what you just said. Manumar, exactly.
Speaking about oxidation, didn't we have with the berries that black is like red?
Yeah, but that was really with blood, with nida. I mean, not really the berry, but we said black and red are the same color. The proof being that when it comes to dam nida, we say that black is an oxidized red. It's an oxidized red. So they're the same color. So red's a problem, so black. Black's a problem, so red's a problem. They're one and the same. Two colors we have by Nida, we see that those two colors are really one and the same color.
You quote them Nida by us?
Yeah, that was the case of Nida. That's what Rashi quoted. Rashi quotes the rule of Nida. Yeah, you bet. Look at what's it, Daf Lamed Aleph Mabez, Lamed Bez Mabez. Not the Nida part. Top of Lamed Bez. Here, it's Daf Lamed Gimel Mabez. Ella Shalaka. See what it says over here? Dam Shachor, Hai Dam Shachor, Adam Hu Shalaka. Tabehokas nido. Rashi says, "Adam shachor, beisha adamu, beisha adamu." El shalakas, vikak to tamug. So it's a case of nido discussion. Okay. We'll stop right here. It's a quick story though. After I've shut this thing off.